We've also been talking about teleworking and how it fits into that. And we just saw the Telework Improvement Act. It actually failed in the House. And some are saying that that is likely because of the estimate, the cost estimate coming from the Congressional Budget Office. It would cost agencies, according to CBO, about $2 million this year and about $30 million between this year and 2015. Some say it's just difficult to get the Telework Act passed because of that perception. And joining us is Alan Holmes. He's executive editor over at NextGov. He joins us live. In fact, don't you have a birthday coming up?
Oh, you had to say that on the radio.
Yeah, well, you turn like 23.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go with that. That's,
yeah,
I like that.
Joining us, Alan Holmes. He's the executive editor over at NextGov. So, I mean, all of us, when this Telework Improvement Act failed, I mean, at least I was just, you're kidding. This is what?
That's right. And even Representative Jerry Connolly from Virginia said the exact same thing. He said, this is good policy. What are people thinking? And at the time, they didn't really know. It was brought up under a special rule, which, not to go into, down the rabbit hole on, but basically you had to get a 2/3 majority. They failed. It failed. It got 268 votes for it, 147 against, but that still wasn't enough. But it did surprise people. And then a week later, we ran an article saying, well, maybe it had to do with the CBO report that you just mentioned.
Yeah, $30 million. By the way, Alan, we live in the rabbit hole. This is Federal News Radio. This is government executive, for goodness sakes. We live there.
There you go.
Okay. But the $30 million estimate, and I read through the CBO report, and I just didn't, I guess I didn't fully understand where they came up with those numbers.
Well,
and they didn't seem to balance the return on that investment. I mean, seems like there's cost benefits here.
Yes, and that's what Katie Corrigan, who's the director of workplace flexibility over at the Georgetown Law School, made her point, is that, hey, if we're going to talk about the costs, why don't we bring in the benefits and really talk about return on investment? Because I think if those costs are accurate, there are tremendous amounts of benefits and cost savings that, Federal News Radio, government executive and Nexo have been reporting on, and that wasn't included. As she was saying, that we need to start talking more about the return on investment, get the message out there so people understand exactly how this is going to pay off for the federal government.
Well, and particularly, we all went through Snowpocalypse and,
right,
and saw the, I mean, imagine the costs associated with the government being closed down for 5 days.
Right. And, it's interesting that you bring that point up in our comments. We got a lot of comments on this. And one of the comments was a manager who said that a government manager, federal manager, that said that, she wanted to, had a lot of people working, a lot of people teleworking. And on their time sheet, she was directed to put snow code in. And what that meant was that these people were marked down as not working and getting paid. She says that, she didn't want to do it this way, but she was directed to. So that shows that people were actually working for nothing, but they were actually doing work.
Yeah.
So it's being written down, recorded that we're losing this money, and in fact, we're not. So there's some things that we need to do in the government to really get the recording of time down, the cost estimates figured out, the time savings, all of that, to really get a good story out there.
Well, yesterday we were talking to Jody Thompson from the Work Row, the Results or Only Work Environment, and her point was, who cares how people get their job done? Focus on the result you're looking for. And even the telework stuff seems, we're still pretty far from that, it seems to me.
Yeah, and that's right. I think one of the other points that Katie Corrigan was making is that the federal government used to be a leader in this area.
Yeah.
And now the private sector is caught up and actually maybe moving a little bit ahead. And that's not a good place to be, because as we talked about a couple of weeks ago about that net generation report about how we need to bring new workers into the federal government. The millennials are looking for flexibility. That's one thing that's how they're going to choose about where they want to work. And if the federal government needs to provide a flexible work environment, which includes telework, then this needs to be pursued in a manner that will attract younger workers, because we're going to need them.
Well, and it's just part of this generation. I mean, this is a generation of people who don't remember phones with cords, for goodness sakes.
Right.
So, you know, the idea of they're just naturally very mobile.
That will seem like their grandparents' government.
Yeah, right.
You know, if they don't have telework, that would seem so old-fashioned.
Yeah, our producer Emily Jarvis is pointing, because she's one of these people. She doesn't even remember phones with cords, for goodness sake.
I've got three right outside my office right now. They let me know about it every day.
A related but unrelated issue is this VA laptop, and NextGov's Bob Bruin actually broke the story, but it's created all sorts of wrangling about essentially this was a laptop that went missing. It's a contractor laptop, right?
Correct. Remember back in 2006, it was an actual VA employee laptop that was stolen from the worker's home. He was taking work home, you know, which is something you can't, you know, fault someone for.
Right.
But this time it's a contractor's laptop.
It was not encrypted again, which we all thought we had gone over that hurdle.
Right, and the VA spent very, very much hard time, you know, getting these policies in place to say, okay, everything's got to be encrypted. At first, it was just for VA employee laptops, which 300,000 of them. And then they extended to say, okay, all laptops, including contractors' laptops that have veterans' personal information, including healthcare data, medical record data, has to be encrypted. And the House VA committee did a little bit of investigation and found out that there were 578 contractors who had refused to follow the instructions to encrypt their laptops. And we're not sure exactly why.
I was going to say, why would a vendor ever say that?
Well, we're going to find out tomorrow, because May 19th, tomorrow, there's a House VA committee hearing on this very subject.
I'm guessing the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yes, yeah. Right. But it also shows up, you know, this is... I am trying to remember the ratio, and Chris, you might be able to remember it better than I, but it's about 5-1, 6-1 contractors to federal employees.
Yeah.
There's, you can do the math and figure out there's a lot more laptops being carried around by contractors doing work for the federal government. So this is something that is a big topic. It's also going to be part of the, you know, all these cybersecurity bills that are coming through Congress right now. You know, we got the Cybersecurity Act. We just have a story on NextGov right now that we put up today that Senator Lieberman is going to be introducing his version, and they're all focusing on getting the contract language down to really get security baked in at the beginning of these procurements and on these clauses in these contracts. So this is going to be a very, very hot subject, you know, for the rest of the year. I don't know if they're going to be able to get these cybersecurity laws passed, you know, because of this election year, but it's going to happen.
This most recent case was a little bit of a different, the one a couple years ago, 2007, was, I think, 24, 25 million names and records. This one, I think, was about 800. So it's not in the same ballpark. But again, we all thought that that they had gotten the message and this problem was solved.
And that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Right, Chris. You think that after the previous one, this would work through, but we still haven't quite closed the loop on it.